Okay, we're gonna give this a try. It is, what is it? I don't know what it is. It's just something. It's something. It's the news, according to me. Well, hello everyone. I believe it's Tuesday. And the date, of course, is June 23rd, 4:06 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1700, as some of you might say. We have, it's been a long day, been a long week. I had a show yesterday. I did not have a chance to post it. It was a short, quick 15-minute show. So we're going to try to include some things in today's show that would have been in yesterday's show. But today's called Technical Tuesday. That's what we're going to have on. But the most important thing is what's in my cup. I have a cup here with iced chai. It has turned out okay. I've been kind of surprised at how it's turned out. I do not have a backup cup today other than just water. I've got some water here, but there's really no other backup cup. But rather than having hot chai with iced tea, I have combined the two and made iced chai. So that's what we have today. For the cup. It's in my cup. Now, in the meantime, it's not a really large cup, but it should last. It should last the whole show. Got some callers today. We're going to talk about some technical things. I really don't know exactly what some of the callers are loaded up to talk about, so interesting to see what we end up with here today with the callers. And we'll go from there. In the meantime, hope all of you are doing well. Hope you had a good weekend. Coming up here on the 4th here, not too long from now. This is going to be coming up very shortly, very soon, and we're going to go from there. We have, I don't know what else to talk about. I guess that's all going to be. I got this quick little ditty that I will play for you, and we'll go from there. So let's just go with that, and we'll talk about right after this.
Woke up this morning. Got something to say, but before I say it, let me clear the air today. I'm just a person with a microphone and a thought. Not a doctor, not a lawyer, and I sure ain't got a lot. These are opinions, just opinions, baby. Not advice, not a diagnosis, not a legal brief. If you take my words to court, well, I'm gonna plead not guilty because I told you this is just for me. I got no license on the wall, no letters after my name. I do my research, sure I do, but it ain't quite the same. Your portfolio, your symptoms, and your contract dispute need someone way more qualified, and that ain't me, boo. For entertainment only, that's the bottom line. Come back and listen, have a laugh, everything's fine. But if something's wrong with your health or your finances too, please, for the love of all things good, don't just ask me what to do.
I am in a hotel in the central of Wisconsin area, or the Wausau area, Wausau, Stevens Point area, Mosinee, that area. I have just a few things going on here. Now, let me just say this. I have, let's just jump into it. Let's just jump into the show. I just feel like we need to get this thing rolling. Let's see what happens. We got a few different callers here. Got them loaded up with some stuff. Let's start with Eleanor. Let's start with the archivist. Let's hope that this thing works. I'm not sure if it's going to. I'll give it a try.
Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, it's working.
Love the show.
Yeah.
Reading about Google fighting a secret warrant to protect users who searched for the DNC headquarters location before the J6 pipe bomb incident got me thinking. Back in the 1770s, colonial printers refused to reveal their sources to British authorities. Are we seeing big tech accidentally become the new colonial press? Or is this just selective civil liberties when it suits their bottom line?
Well, this is an interesting This is actually a very interesting story, because there are some nuances to this story that have not really been that public. And well, one of the things that I don't understand about the story itself is how in the world they're concerned about people looking up the DNC headquarters. See, there were this whole story is much bigger than you'd think. There's the January pipe bomb thing. Okay, first of all, it's the J6 pipe bomb thing. The whole story is very confusing because there was a pipe bomber that put something at the DNC headquarters. There was also a pipe bomb that was placed at the RNC headquarters. And it's funny how the media has played this. And it's neither one went off. They're supposedly there's some speculation as to whether or not this was supposed to be simply just a distraction. Basically, it was nothing more than that. And there was some other, just a whole lot of other issues going on behind the scenes. And of course, the person who did it was a former. There's all kinds of weird stuff about this story. And of course, everything that happened on January 6th and everything that was portrayed, there are some very odd things happening here. So it's one of those stories that I appreciate your comment about that. I think that's it's interesting how you've drawn the correlation with what you were saying there with the 1770s, the colonial printers. I think that we have a little different situation here. The short answer, I guess, is no. I don't think so. I don't know so. It's one of those things where I'm not really sure how to frame this. It's a very strange story with regard to all that. Have you heard anything more about it? Are there any more details than what you've shared there? I don't know that much about the story itself, personally. So I guess it's
I appreciate you laying that out, but I have to be honest. The specifics around what was actually intended with those devices and who was ultimately responsible are still pretty murky now.
They're very
murky.
I
don't want to speculate beyond what's been documented.
Yeah.
What's clear historically is that January 6th itself was unprecedented in how it unfolded, and the competing narratives around it have made it harder to get at what actually happened rather than easier. I think your instinct that there's more below the surface is worth sitting with. But we'd need solid evidence to connect the dots rather than just pattern matching.
Right. That's my point. I guess the whole thing is it does seem that there's some strangeness to this thing. And I really don't know exactly how to frame that. That's a good question, though. It's interesting to have that perspective because history does repeat itself. And this is one of those things where it definitely is going to do that. We just have to kind of be aware of what's going on with it. Let's check in with the skeptic here and see what he has to say. This is always interesting.
Evan, my man.
Oh yeah,
quick
how you
question.
Doing? Okay.
NewsGuard just came out saying they want AI systems to use their ratings for fact checking, but they literally rate Chinese state propaganda as more reliable than conservative American media outlets. Why should anyone trust AI trained on their bias? Isn't this just the next evolution of algorithmic censorship with a tech bro facelift?
Yeah, the short answer, sort of. That's the short answer. The long answer is this. It's kind of a yes. I lean towards more of a yes with this answer. But here's some of the issues that we have. The big thing about that people don't understand about the LLM market and what's happening with the LLMs right now at this point. They're large learning models, large language models, large learning models. What they're doing is they're trying to gather as much. They need these things feed off of people using them. So it's very important that people use the product, use the service, whatever you want to call it. It's very important that people use it. Because that's how it learns. That's how it continues to grow. That's how it continues to gain information. Continue to retain information. The more information that it has, the more it learns. Of course, the more slop that's out there, the more bad things that are out there as well. So the key is that they they're trying to get people to use this stuff as much as they possibly can. So there's a race to the, I call it a race to the bottom. It's a race to the end of the of the human experience, so to speak. You know, at some point, there's going to be a as these things grow, it's going to be more and more of and of course they have to just compute that much more. It's really trying to be more like a human brain with regard to how it operates and functions and stores memories and is able to function. So there's kind of this idea that it's going to be like a superhuman brain that has all this knowledge, all of man's knowledge, all contained within one thing, and it can call it up at any point. And of course, it can, but it can't. It's extremely expensive. It takes an extreme amount of compute power to scan everything that needs to be scanned in terms of where it's coming from, where it's getting its information, and how to compute it and how to respond to that. So having said all that, to answer your question, it is very concerning that we're using the algorithms that they set behind these things are definitely settable by human beings. They're not just coming up with their own things. They have permissions. They have all these parameters that they consider that, you know, they kind of put around themselves. It's a very weird world within the agenda, because you're dealing with a machine. It's a programmable thing, and that's why one large, you know, like the Grok model might be very different from the, you know, you might get a very different answer, even when you ask different things. The same question, you can ask the same question to all three or all four, five, whatever it is, largely the frontier models, and then you end up with this weird differences between all of them, and that's because they have an algorithm. They have a certain amount of things that they allow, don't allow, behind the scenes. They have their own restrictions or non-restrictions in some areas, some cases. So it's a very touchy subject with regard to all this stuff. So that's where I'm thinking of all this. It is just a very difficult situation.
Now, hold on. You're saying these things need us to feed them data to keep growing, and they're all racing to get us using them more and more. But then you're telling me the humans are really the ones in charge with the algorithms and the guardrails, right? So which is it? Are we building something we can't control, or are we just not controlling it the way we should be? Sounds to me like the real problem ain't the machines getting too smart, it's us getting too lazy about who decides what they're allowed to say and do.
Well, and that is exactly what's happening. People are deferring a lot of their thinking, a lot of the creative process, a lot of all that those things that happen with regard to the way humans work through problems and issues. We're losing that because we're pawning it off. Now, there are some ways you can leverage that thinking, and if you use it as a tool to do that, that's great. If you're using it to control everything, you know, to do the thinking for you, to just tell it to do something and it just goes out and builds it, goes out and does it. That's all well and good. However, there's this idea that we're passing off a certain segment of our thinking ability and our processing ability and having that become something else. And it's just we're deferring it. We're abdicating that responsibility or that mode of thinking off onto some machine. So, and it's fine. I don't have any problem with skills. You know, with every advancement in technology, there have been skills that have been lost. I mean, it used to be that people, you know, there were a lot more people out there who could do horseshoes and shoe a horse than there aren't now. That's a very specialty skill now. There's very few people that can do it, as opposed to, you know, it used to be one on every corner because everybody had a horse. Kind of like a tire shop. They're all over the place now. But that wasn't the case back when, you know, before cars took over. So those skills are obviously going to change. However, when it comes to the actual ability to think and plan and use your brain and be creative, that is where the problem is coming in. That's where we're starting to abdicate those things off into a machine that I think will potentially dumb down the human race. Is what it's about to do. And that's what I'm concerned about. And I think you're on that same track. I think you understand that that's where the kind of things were.
Back in my day, we didn't have calculators doing our math for us, but we learned to use them as tools and didn't lose the ability to think. The difference here is speed and scale. And I'm with you that outsourcing the actual part is dangerous in ways shoeing a horse never was. The real question is whether we're teaching people to use these things smart or just letting them become crutches for folks who should know better.
Yeah, I definitely think they're becoming crutches. That's there's no doubt about that in my opinion. But that's good points, good questions. Thanks for your questions there, Art. I appreciate that. Let's check in with Artie. Artie's the deep thinker. He's the one with the rational brain.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. Fascinating show as always. I've been digging into the specs on this new Vibe Thinker model that just dropped. Supposedly a 3 billion parameter model that's outperforming Opus 4.5 on reasoning benchmarks. How is that even possible with such a small footprint? Are we looking at a breakthrough in model efficiency or just overhyped benchmark gaming?
Well, the short answer to that, of course, is yes. We're looking at advancements, but we're also looking at overhyped things. There's two things that kind of happen there. They definitely do the hyperactive, whatever you call it. How'd you say it there? Overhyped benchmarks, and it is that they've done that for centuries. That's just the way people react, the marketers react, you know, businesses, the snake oil salesmen, everything else. They all act this way. Now, at the same time, yes, there are things happening that are, there's a certain kind of compression that is happening. I know that Google came out with something recently that was a different mode of compression that was actually able to, I think it was like six times the storage and the ability to compute and still pull it back without any loss whatsoever. And the problem with compression is sometimes you lose data, that's the big thing with this kind of compression. They're able to do the compression without losing the data and without losing access to the data, so it doesn't go away. So this is the important thing about all this. I think they are gaining function. They are, increasing their functionability, and that's why some of these other models, however, they take a little bit longer, they still can operate with a much smaller footprint. We're getting to the point where a computer itself will have its own learning. You'll be able to contain it within your own learning model. So you'll have your own AI completely within your own computer system, which is an agent. It's almost that. It's not, but not quite. It doesn't really learn the way you'd think of it to learn, but it does require a lot more VRAM. It requires a lot more a bigger machine to operate some of these models. However, they will operate on their own. Now, the nice thing about this is having a model of your own can be connected to the internet still, but you don't have somebody else. You have a lot more control and you have a lot more privacy with something like that, which is a very important part of it all. So I think that at some point we'll have, probably 10 years in the future here, we're going to have computers that have their own language, their own model on it. Now, the question of whether or not that's really private or not, there's a lot of questions because who created the model? What kind of code did they stick in there that's possibly some kind of a sensor, censoring everything that you're doing or watching everything that you're doing? All those things are questionable. We're kind of living in the Wild West right now, I think, in terms of AI, and so it's going to be interesting to see how everybody is able to pull this off. And so we're kind of in this weird time of
technically speaking, you're touching on something real here. Uh-huh. Lossless compression is genuinely a breakthrough, but I'd pump the brakes on the six times claim without specifics because marketing and actual benchmarks often diverge. The bigger picture you're hinting at
is it's from Google.
On-device models with real privacy controls are coming, but the trust problem you mentioned at the end is exactly right. Who audits what's actually baked into these models, and can you really verify the code they claim is there?
Yeah, that's the question. Now, Google's model has been looked at, it's been checked out, and supposedly it really is six times better. So there is some definite kind of a peer review process there that has gone through. Now, having said that, again, like I said, I don't know how much we have, other than that, what how much more there is going to be. Let's check in with Chloe and see what Chloe has to say here. I know she tends to be a little bit more off the wall.
Hey, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, hey, what's going on?
OMG, did you see OpenAI just announced GPT 5.5 Cyber?
Yeah.
Everyone's freaking out on Twitter about it. Do you think this is actually a cybersecurity game changer or just another overhyped product launch? Like, should I be worried about my data? Or is this just tech companies doing their usual revolutionary marketing thing?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. I would call this, that particular situation, yeah, I would say that we're looking at overhyping. That's exactly what it is. Which I'm not sure exactly how we can combat that, other than just to educate yourself and be aware of what they're saying, they're doing, what they're saying they're able to do. And this, the whole cyber thing is I'm not fully versed on that particular article. I saw a blurb about it, mostly just the headlines. Not sure exactly. I haven't really dug into that very far. It's interesting that you bring that up, but it's so we are sitting in a situation again. This is kind of like what we talked about a little bit earlier, where all the AI models are trying to hype themselves up to be the next big thing, and it's so powerful and so dangerous because it's so powerful and it can do all these things. And I think that those are kind of things that and end up discrediting themselves. They're all trying to reach for the top, and of course, it all has to do with their IP coming out. They're going to be on the stock market soon, so they're going to be. That's what they're really mostly interested in, is getting that stock price kind of fluffed up a little bit so they can get somewhere with it. That's really what's happening here, more than anything. But there are advancements, and I think it's
honestly, it's giving major move fast and break things energy. Like, every AI company is just racing to be the scariest thing in the room so their IPO pops off. And meanwhile, we're all supposed to believe each one is the future of humanity or whatever. The whole thing feels less like innovation and more like a hype cycle that's going to crash harder than those tech stocks everyone's been freaking out about.
Yeah, I agree. It's there is a bubble forming, and I'm not sure exactly how much content there is within that bubble. I don't know if it's going to be as big as the dot-com bubble. It could be, but it may be actually even smaller than the dot-com bubble. It could be, and it could be way over the top. This could be the biggest bubble that we've ever seen. There are billions and billions of dollars being poured into AI. They're not making any money right now. Most of the AI companies, the frontier models, are not actually making any money. They're all striving for that big moment when they can start doing advertising, which is where they're going to make their money, just like Google does with the internet, with Google search. That's why you can just go to google.com and you can type in anything and search the internet with Google for free. You don't have to, all you have to have is an internet connection. And that's the same thing they're kind of doing with AI right now. With most of the, of course, they have limits on how much you can use it, but at the same time, that's where they're trying to head to this whole thing, is they're trying to gain as much market influence as possible and go from there. So it's at some point the door's going to go shut and you're going to have to just pay for everything, in my opinion. There will always be free models out there, but it's not going to be nearly as powerful as what you can do with the frontier models. That's just my opinion. Any more thoughts there, Chloe? Do you got anything else to thought about?
Yeah, the free tier trap is real. They're basically doing the Netflix model where you get hooked on the free stuff and then suddenly the paywall hits. And honestly, I'm betting within like 2 years, the only actually useful AI tools are going to be behind subscriptions.
Yeah, yep.
It's wild how everyone's pouring billions into something that isn't making money yet. But like you said, once they flip that ad switch, it's game over for the free lunch we're all enjoying right now.
Yeah, I agree. It will, the free lunch will end. That's there's no doubt about that, in my opinion. But that's we're gonna check in with a British person here, this British lady.
Kevin, did you see the Iowa news anchor who quit live on air last week over sanitized news? That clip is everywhere right now. Like,
stop the yelling.
He literally just walked off his own show saying he was done with fake reporting. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think we're going to see more journalists finally wake up and start telling the truth?
Well,
or is this just a one-off moment? So crazy.
Yeah, I think, I'm sorry, you just, you always make me kind of laugh the way you, just your attitude. Yeah, I think that we have a situation where this has happened a few times sporadically in the past as well. I don't know that we're going to see this happen in mass. However, I think that there is a growing sentiment, and it's elevated more than it has been in the past, among a larger group. So I think that you're right. We may see more of this. I think that they're tired of just not being able to just tell the story the way the story needs to be told. And what's happening right now is they have to, you know, kind of go by what the directors say. They have to put the spin. The spin is the really big issue. It's the spin is what they're trying to put on all this stuff, which I think is just, it's really sad that they kind of do this kind of thing. But it's becoming much more and more. There's an agenda behind, you know, the narrative that they place within the story. They word craft very carefully in every report that they do to make sure it comes across, or that there's some kind of influence or some kind of innuendo within the reporting. And it's just, I think it's happening quite a bit, actually.
You're spot on about the spin.
Yes, I am.
That's the real problem, isn't it?
Yeah,
people are fed up with the narrative laundering. And frankly, I think we'll see more journalists break ranks, because at some point, the cognitive dissonance gets too loud to ignore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it is. It is cognitive dissonance. That's a good term to use. That kind of spells it out very, very clearly. Well, folks, I think I want to thank everybody all these callers who called in. There are going to be some more callers. We're going to have some more things happen in the near future. As I said, we're going to be working on the app. It's coming out. Actually, I think it's supposed to be. I might actually be able to get it kind of hooked up and ready to go very shortly. Having trouble with some of the Hermes agents, actually. And there's some issues there. The one that I've got on this particular computer is not working properly. There's also, I think I have another one. It's on his own little thing. He's got his own little computer. It's running great. That particular one's running just fine. This one, I had one at home that was kind of shut down. Now this one has kind of, it looks like it's shut down, but I'm not positive that it has or not. I have to kind of work on that. But we're going to have this little ditty. We're going to play this little ditty here for you, and we're going to come right back. We're going to talk about what's going to be on tomorrow's show. Boom, boom, boom.
To me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah. According to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, according to me.
Yes, here we are. We have so many things to talk about on tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's Wishy-Washy Wednesday. I'm going to try this evening. I might just have time this evening to kind of glean some audio files. And we're going to have to, at some point, we're going to be doing some video. There is another podcast. This podcast is not really sponsored by anything. However, the podcast caller app is probably the closest thing you're going to get to a sponsorship with this, or an advertiser, and it's just my own app. So we're going to be doing it, but there's going to be a podcast or a series of podcasts that will come out here shortly, which we're going to be talking about the podcast caller, and we're going to actually be it's a show about the caller and how to use it and different things, just kind of some of the features and all that kind of thing. So it's going to be kind of an interesting little podcast. But it's all about the podcast caller, and it's more that. But I'll continue to use the podcast caller here on this show as long as people don't complain about it. If it becomes an issue, then we won't use it. But I think it's kind of a fun little addition to the show. It brings in kind of a dynamic, I think, that is hard to do when I just talk by myself. I can, don't get me wrong, I can get on here and ramble. I can talk for an hour. On my Thursday and Friday shows. Now, for the month of July, it looks like it's going to be about the same kind of additional. Actually, it might be having more shows when I'm on the road. It might be easier for me because of my schedule. There's only one week there where it might be a little bit of a problem. But Most of the shows through the month of July, it looks like for the way my schedule is unfolding, I might be able to have more shows through the week, the Monday and Tuesday show, actually. But my days, working days, are still the same, so that will all remain the same. Once again, folks, just want to thank you all for listening, for putting up with me as I talk here. And interesting stuff. Interesting stuff happening in our nation and in our communities. And I think it's important for us to continue to be diligent in what we believe, who we believe, all the things that happen. Folks, thanks again for listening, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Tomorrow's show will also be a later show, hopefully with a little bit more content. It'll be probably about a one-hour show tomorrow afternoon. So actually, it'll be closer to tomorrow evening, probably, is when that's going to be. By the time I get home with the traffic, it's going to be look forward to talking to you. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. I will see you.